Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from Berlin International Film Festival 2014. And today I'm with John Lithgow, co-protagonist with Alfred Molina of the new Ira Sachs film, Love is Strange. So how did you work with Alfred Molina to create the chemistry, the empathy?
Well, he really does belong here. It's a very odd thing to do press for the film without Fred here, because he's so much a part of the experience. As I say, between the two of us, we come up with one performance. And I think we were very lucky to have each other, because we were extremely good friends. Fred was already set for the film when it was offered to me. And it was an enormous reason for my enthusiasm about the film. I loved the idea of playing this part with Fred. I had always wanted to work with him. We've never worked together, but I've seen him do beautiful work over the years, and he's a tremendously courageous actor. He would not agree. He doesn't think of himself as courageous. He thinks of himself as foolish, you know. But he's just completely there. You play a scene with him and you feel like you're really in the same world with him. You're both after the same, you both have the same aims and same goals. There was just great ease, and Ira was very good at facilitating that. If he were here, I think you would see what I mean. He's just a wonderful person to be around. And I've always felt that the film required just a completely familiar relationship. Both of us have been married a long time. We both know about marriage, that it's not easy to be married to someone over 30 years, as both of us have been married for 30 years. That there's an awful lot of discord along with the concord. But both of us were able to bring that to the roles, and it's in the writing, I think.
So would you say that the secret to a long-lasting relationship is sharing a sense of humor?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There is a moment very near the end where we laugh out of control when we're sitting in the bar, Julius's. That was actually Fred's last scene, the last time we worked together, that scene in the bar. By that time, we had been working together for about 3 weeks. It was a very, very short shooting period, and I would say it's the hardest and longest I had laughed in my life, because he's such a funny man. He tells the jokes that simply cripple you. There were moments when I had to tell him not to talk anymore, or I would throw up. You know, he's just a delightful man. And I said, you know, we haven't had a single moment of that in this film. We've got to find the laughter, because you're absolutely right. A marriage of that, I refer to it as a marriage, a relationship of 40 years, will only survive with humor. It's the only way you counteract the discomfort with each other. Humor is a way of exploding that discomfort. And Fred has a great sense of that. And sure enough, we found a moment to laugh out of control.
I was thinking that in the Eastern countries, this movie could be banned, like Russia, for example.
Well, I imagine it would. I think it will be difficult for it to be seen in Russia. I mean, there is literally a law that bans propaganda on behalf of a gay lifestyle. This movie is not propaganda, and its intention is not necessarily to change anyone's views. It's not a polemic. It's simply a portrait of a relationship. But at its best, any piece of art opens up people's consciousness a little bit. This movie has emerged from the impetus toward acceptance and tolerance. This is a moment when a lot of people who did not accept the idea of gay marriage are gradually accepting it, and eventually will accept it more and more. Even in Russia, how can you continue in a world where the rest of the world is changing its mind and you're not? Eventually, Eventually, I think we all move in the direction of acceptance. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see whether this is ever seen in Russia. And if it is, how people would react to it. We didn't make a film for a niche audience. We didn't want this film only to be seen by gay men. That goes without saying. We wanted, I think, of all the people who will see this film, or who may see this film, half of them will embrace it completely, and the other half will not. But if they come at all, I hope that it will make people see people different. I mean, the fact is, all of us have members of our family or friends who are gay, whether we know it or not. Bit by bit, I mean, to me, it's an act of great courage to come out. It's requiring less courage than all the time because it's becoming more accepted. But it's so deeply admirable. I mean, I've only been to one same-sex marriage wedding in my life. This past summer, a friend of mine got married to a man. They became each other's husband. And that sacrament was, I've been to a lot of weddings in my life, but I've never been to one where the sacrament seemed so important. And you honestly felt the world changing just seeing these two men speak their vows. And your own sensibilities change. I mean, I have been in favor of same-sex marriage, but I suddenly saw it in a different way, just being there at that sacrament. And I think basically the world is experiencing that more all the time.
What's your criteria? How do you choose a role?
You know good writing when you see it, and you just simply long to work with the very best people. That includes the actors and the filmmakers and the writers. That's what you look for all the time, and you aren't always that lucky. But when it comes along, you seize the chance.
And now it's mixing TV roles and fiction film roles for you.
I just feel extremely lucky. Everything I do as an actor comes from the taproot of theater acting. When I started out, I grew up in a theater family, and when I decided to become an actor, I assumed that my whole life would be theater acting, stage acting, and I even thought it would be like classical repertory theater acting. I never even thought I would appear on Broadway. Everything has been a surprise as it's come along, as I've gradually become better known, mainly curiously because of that, the sitcom I did, the hit sitcom in the United States. That was 6 years I was on the air in a network TV comedy. It was seen all over the world. That opened up even more horizons. It's allowed me to do all these wonderful things, and it's great to become known for many things rather than just one thing, because it allows you to surprise people, to do something which is the last thing they expected you to do. Even this film, it's a kind of unusual role for me. In a way, it's unusual how little acting I do in it. People are used to the grand gesture and the sort of bold, you know, like Third Rock from the Sun, I was all over the place, or The Trinity Killer, or Buckaroo Banzai. I mean, that's what I'm sort of known for. It's almost what people expect of me. So simply pulling back and settling back into a quiet role, that suddenly becomes unusual. And I love it. I love to surprise people that way.
RSX is obviously very well known in the indie world, I was thinking that thanks to your presence and Alfred Molina's presence, the film is obviously, thank God, destined to a bigger audience. So did you feel like the responsibility of showing the film to a big audience, being a big part of that? And as you said before, I think the film was relieving in a certain way, because finally you get to see, you get to go beyond stereotypes mm-hmm. about gay couples and finally see a normal gay couple, it would be a heterosexual couple.
Mm-hmm. Well, I felt no particular responsibility. Everything you do is a leap of faith. I hoped that this would be a fine film, and I hoped that many, many people would see it, but I knew it was an independent film on a very particular subject, which not everybody was going to embrace. But you just simply get to work and do the best you can, and some part of your mind is always saying, oh, yes, I hope this is an Oscar-nominated film. You know, I hope this goes big. I hope we strike it rich with this one. But in a way, you have to banish those thoughts and just get to work. And tell me your second question again.
I thought that I found it relieving because it shows you like a different, like a normal gay couple.
Yes. One of the beautiful things about the film is that it presents this relationship as a given. There's nothing extraordinary about it. What's extraordinary about the film is how ordinary it is. It's what you're saying, in a sense. This couple is already tolerated and loved by all family and friends. There's this little bump in the road. Catholic doctrine asserts itself, and that is a little problem, but it's not a big problem. I mean, if you think of the major mainstream films that have featured gay life, Milk, Beginners, Philadelphia, they've involved great dramatic issues, a murder, the specter of AIDS and an AIDS death, an older man finally coming out after a long, long marriage. It's kind of extraordinary, heightened drama. This is just the opposite of that. There's nothing particularly dramatic about this. The life crises are little crises. Losing a job, losing an apartment, having to live with your nephew and his teenage son. They are the kinds of things that anybody has to deal with. But the fact is, this is a couple in their late 60s, early 70s, and they're gay. You don't see that in a movie. I can't even think of a movie where you've seen such an ordinary couple who happen to be gay. You don't even see that many old heterosexual couples. That's what made Amour so unique last year. In that sense, it's, as I say, it's extraordinary because it's so ordinary.
Thank you, John Lithgow, for being here with us on Fairfield Radio for Ira Sachs' film Love is Strange. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from Berlin International Film Festival in 2014 for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.